You're listening to Radio MD. She's a chiropractic, holistic physician, best-selling author, international speaker, entrepreneur, and talk show host. She's Dr. Suzanne Bennett. It's time now for Wellness for Life Radio. Here's Dr. Suzanne.
Each year, the American Cancer Society estimates the number of new cancer cases and deaths that will occur in the U.S. In 2016, it's estimated that over 1.6 million new cases, cancer cases, and close to 600,000 cancer deaths are projected to occur. Now, with billions and billions of dollars going into cancer research and more pharmaceutical chemotherapies coming out each year, what's really disappointing is that these death rates have not changed much at all. They found that except for men, you know, men, there's like a 3.1 decline in prostate cancer diagnoses, not deaths, due to the actual fact that it's just going down in the diagnosis. Okay, so, you know, although heart disease is still the number one killer of Americans, death rates are increasing for cancers of the liver, pancreas, and uterine corpus. And the cancer is now the leading cause of death in 21 states, primarily due to these exceptional large reductions in deaths from heart diseases. Now, I know this seems so depressing, right? This is depressing news, but I want you to know that there's definite hope. There are real science-based natural methodologies one you can implement yourself to turn off these cancer cells from growing in your body and to turn on your ability to thrive and live the most vibrant life you and your family deserves. Now, today we have Dr. Lise Alschuler, an expert on naturopathic oncology, who's going to give us more insight on how to live your best life free of cancer. She's the co-author of the best-selling book, Definitive Guide to Cancer, and The Definitive Guide to Thriving After Cancer. Thanks so much for being here on Wellness for Life, Dr. Lise.
It's my pleasure. Looking forward to this.
Oh, good, good. Now, let's talk about why you got into the cancer and if there's any personal connection to it.
Yeah, well, you know, I actually wanted to specialize in oncology when I was up in pre-med, and then I sort of became enamored with general medicine for 10 years or so, but found my way back to oncology. And I think originally my interest was really because I had the opportunity as an undergrad to be in a class and hear some cancer survivors or people who are currently dealing with cancer come in and speak. And there was just something really empowering and wonderful about these people. They valued life in a way that I just didn't see exemplified in sort of the average person. So I knew that this disease, as horrible as it is, seemed to have the potential to change people and bring them to, you know, in some ways their higher self. So that was kind of my initial calling. And then after working in cancer for a while, unfortunately, my father was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. And like most people diagnosed with that disease, he was very advanced when he was diagnosed. But he outlived his prognosis significantly. And most remarkably, he was really well during that time. He felt very healthy, in fact, healthier than he felt before he was diagnosed. And so I really got to see the power of not only conventional therapies, which he did use, but also natural therapies, his supplements and diet and his attitude, all of that really culminated in creating that wellness for him. And then a couple years after he passed, I was diagnosed with breast cancer myself, so I got to live this firsthand and, again, integrated conventional therapies. But throughout the whole time of my treatment, continued to use natural therapies, lifestyle recommendations, and still do that to this day, and really felt the power of employing kind of laying all the tools out on the table and, you know, picking the best, most powerful ones, no matter what label they have. And so it's really, for me, been something that I've experienced personally, and, you know, my practice focuses on oncology, and I really feel very strongly that every person diagnosed with this disease should have the opportunity to avail themselves of integrative care.
You know, this has been an ongoing theme. A lot of the doctors and experts that I have on our show, including myself, we get into the field, our purpose, our passions, because of the things that we've gone through. You, for one, your father passed from pancreatic cancer, and then yourself, of course, you've gone through it. For me, it was my son was severely, severely sick with allergies. So literally, that's what I became an expert on. And as you, I wonder how many years has it been since you've been working with integrative naturopathic oncology?
Well, actually, I am in my 11th year, so I sort of got into the specialty before I had this personal experience. But to your point, having had these personal connections has deepened the work for me, really given it more, I can't say more importance, but a different kind of importance. I really feel like I understand now, you know, what people are going through, whether they're a care provider to a loved one or whether they're the person diagnosed with cancer. And so I feel that my work is imbued with a different sense of compassion, understanding, and, you know, so I'm a better doctor for it, I hope. And certainly it's continued to motivate my work, both as a clinician and I have a business partner, Carolyn Gazella, and she and I have been working really hard to bring, you know, cancer, integrative cancer options and lifestyle-based therapies to people all over. So we're actually just about to launch a very exciting cancer wellness app, which will be available to people everywhere. And that's another expression of this drive to give people what they need and can and deserve, frankly, to empower themselves into more wellness, regardless of what disease, in this case, cancer, they've been through.
What is your app called?
It's called iThrivePlan.com, and we're just actually doing our initial beta testing now, and we're very excited about it. It's really unique. There's nothing else like it. We've worked with a mathematician to develop this very special algorithm. So we have a survey, people answer the survey, and then we put it through all this complex math, and we come out with very individualized recommendations that evolve with the user as they use the app, so that they're never going to end. There's always options for them. It's very, you know, taking people where they're at, giving them little baby steps, one little baby step at a time, to make changes in their life, whether it's diet, movement, spirit, stress management, adjusting their home and personal care environment. All of those impact our health and directly influence our risk of cancer and its recurrence, not to mention cardiovascular disease and dementia and other things. So it's a really empowering, fun and engaging way to help people kind of take the next step along their wellness path. Because frankly, you know, there's only so many of you and I's in the world, and not everybody can avail themselves of an individual practitioner. And even if they do, this is kind of a nice behavioral tool for them. But it's just, you know, really an effort on our part to give people access to really good, solid, scientifically sound information and strategies that will make a difference in their day, today, tomorrow, and for the long term.
Great. You know, so the iThrive plan is not just for people who've been diagnosed with cancer, but it's also if you want to prevent it. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think one of the things that I've discovered is through my lens of looking at the research, the lens being cancer, what can prevent cancer, what lowers the risk of cancer, it turns out that those things in almost all cases also happen to lower the risk of cardiovascular disease, of diabetes, of dementia, of arthritis, you know, of other chronic diseases. And that makes sense from a holistic perspective, because we know that some of the same underlying influences in our body just express differently, depending on, you know, various environmental influences, but that really at the core of all these conditions, there's a lot of similarity. So when we can make changes on that core level, and in those key components of our lifestyle, then we actually will affect not only our risk for lots of diseases, but will affect how we feel today. So we'll actually improve our wellness today. So it's kind of nice because it's all connected together. Very efficient.
Well, let's talk about that. Then let's talk about each area. You know, you talk about the 5 to thrive. That's a website you also have, 5tothrive.com, right? Let's talk about those 5 areas that you share on the and will help people with your app, the iThrivePlan.com. Let's start. Where's number one?
Well, you know, I think that from a data perspective, actually, number one is movement. Most people think I'm going to say diet first, because that's what a lot of people think they should change first. And it's important, and we'll get to that. But really, the most influential behavioral change people can make is to move more. There's some data now that's been accumulated over the past decade or so that's very tight, that people who exercise regularly, and what does that mean? That means typically at least 30 minutes of moderately brisk, so like a brisk walk a day, 5 days a week. So that's kind of the starting point where you start to see the benefit. People who exercise at that level will lower their risk of at least a dozen cancers by about 50%. That's huge. There's really nothing else that has that level. Yeah. And now what we know, in addition to having these dedicated periods of activity that we call exercise, in addition to that, there's a whole new body of research that's come up that really points to the importance of not being sedentary. So when we're sedentary, which generally is defined as sitting for more than 90 minutes at a time, and it's surprising how many of us do that day in, day out, but when we sit for that period of time, day in, day out, we actually accumulate a lot of ill health, and we increase our risk of a variety of diseases, cancer included. So in addition to exercising, we also have to work on not being sedentary, which just means getting up and stretching, walking around, taking a flight of stairs, just doing something for a minute or two every 90 minutes. That can make a huge difference in our health outcomes and our risk of chronic diseases.
I'm right there with you, Dr. Elise, because, you know, we learn a lot about the blue zones, those areas where people are much older than the majority of us who reach that, you know, who are centenarians, 100 years or older. And every one of them, the one thing that is a common thread is that they all are very active people, whether they're gardening, walking their dog, you know, playing musical instruments. It doesn't matter what it is. You just got to move more. And, you know, I'm a true believer in mitochondrial health. I've wrote the book, The Mighty Mito, this year. And I talk a lot about you've got to change the metabolism. Cancer is a metabolic issue, I believe. And I'd like to talk to you about that a little bit. But more importantly, movement is what triggers and stimulates that metabolic system. Isn't that right?
Yeah. I mean, there's so many things about exercise that are beneficial. As another sort of related point that you're making regarding metabolism, another risk factor for cancer and many chronic diseases, heart disease included, is something called insulin resistance, which occurs when essentially, generally, somebody has a diet that's really high in simple carbohydrates, so sugar, white flour, that kind of thing, doesn't tend to exercise very much, probably a little bit sleep deprived, carry some extra weight. Over time, the level of blood sugar and insulin rises and cells become resistant to that insulin. And unfortunately, both insulin and to some extent sugar, but especially insulin, is a direct growth factor for cancers and cancerous tumors. Turns out when we exercise, our muscles create compounds called myokines, and myokines directly oppose insulin resistance. So one of the best ways to combat insulin resistance is to exercise. That's a metabolic, you know, an example of a metabolic effect. And we didn't even know that myokines existed 10 years ago. So this is a relatively new discovery, but it really points to the importance of being active, even as you're working on your diet, even if you're overweight. If you have good functioning muscle and muscle health, your whole metabolism is going to be much healthier systemically.
Okay, so we all got to move, you know, like right now when we're talking, I'm talking on to you standing up, giving an interview, standing up. So a lot of these stand-up desks are available, right? And yeah. I'm even looking at a little treadmill that you can put underneath my desk to see, hey, can I get a little bit more movement while I'm doing some of my work here? So let's go to the second. What's number two?
Well, you know, I'm canalizing diet out there. I'm not going to go to diet next either. I'm going to actually go to stress, because I've come to believe that not only does high levels of stress directly impact our physiology in a very adverse way. When we are under chronic stress, our stress response system is kind of stuck in the on position. the chemicals that are secreted in the stress response system are circulating in our body in quantities that we should only see very fleetingly. So when these chemicals, that these stress hormones are circulating, they affect how our cells behave, and they actually increase a lot of risk factors for cancer. So when we have chronic stress, we are more likely to have insulin resistance. We have disrupted sleep patterns, and sleep is really important for cell repair and for restoring our immune function, very important defenses against cancer. The stress hormones directly bind to receptors on cancerous cells and stimulate their growth. So stress is really critical. But on another level, when people are super stressed, they tend to do stress eating so that their diet is generally not as healthy. One of the first things to go when people are stressed is exercise. So they don't exercise as regularly. People who are super stressed also don't sleep very well, so they don't get the benefits of sleep. So stress becomes this unraveler, the thread that unravels our health. So I think really looking at your stress level and then assessing how you're managing your stress is really critical even before you tackle your diet. Because if you can manage your stress in a more healthy way and really get a handle on your stress, then any diet changes that you're going to make or any exercise changes you're going to do are going to be more sustainable. You're going to create actually habits and patterns that will support good health ongoingly. So that's my number two, stress management.
Great. And, you know, so in your book or actually from your I Thrive plan, do you give certain type of stress management tools?
Yeah, there's so many. Gosh, that's the good news. There's just so many. You know, the iThrivePlan.com that we're launching has a lot of just so many techniques, ranging from things like helping people learn how to do the simplest thing of all, which is to just do some very slow, deep breaths, closing your eyes, being aware of your breath coming in, holding it for a second or two, letting it out, doing that three times in the midst of stress can totally reset your stress response system. So going from something as simple as that all the way through and including things like taking little vacations, even if they're mental vacations. There's actually some data that supports doing these little mini mental vacations where you visualize yourself in a very relaxed and enjoyable place. That has huge impact. Meditation practices obviously are one of the best, most well-researched strategies for stress prevention. Spending time with friends, engaging in hobbies that you enjoy. I mean, the good news is there is no shortage of strategies for managing stress. The challenge is just finding a strategy that feels fun, feels good, feels right to you, and then really prioritizing that and recognizing that the time spent on that strategy, even if it's just a few minutes or half an hour or whatever time it is time extremely well spent. When people manage their stress, when they focus on including activities that will help lower their stress and stress response reactions, they're going to be more efficient at everything else they do. So they actually get more productive and they end up saving a lot of other time on the other end. So it's just you have to believe that at first. And then once you engage in it, you really see the benefits.
Great. I for one, believe that just going outside, getting a little sun on your face, your body, being in nature, and even smelling a flower. I mean, it's amazing what such basic actions that you can do outdoors will make the biggest difference. Great.
Yeah.
All right. That's number one. You want us to move more. Number two, we want to address our stresses, day-to-day stresses. What's next?
Well, okay. Now I'll talk about diet. And diet is important, of course. And, you know, the challenge with cancer is there's a lot of different dietary strategies out there. There's, you know, supposed diet cures. And certainly there are people that have made dramatic changes in their diet and alleviated cancer. But that's the rarity. So, you know, we have to kind of take it with a grain of salt. But having said that, diet does significantly influence our risk of cancer. It's estimated that if people ate basically a plant-based diet in the style of the Mediterranean diet, and I'll talk a little bit more about that in a second. If people ate that way, we would see about a third less cancer in the world. So, you know, this is not going to take your risk down to zero, but it is going to lower it sizably. So enough to pay attention to it for sure. So essentially, there's kind of some basic do's and don'ts with diet, and it's frankly not very complicated. The main do is more plant foods. So it doesn't mean you can't eat meat, but it means you need to eat a lot of vegetables. We just, as a general population, do not eat nearly enough plant food. So this is about that old, you know, as most people know, they're supposed to eat 5 to 7 servings of vegetables and fruits a day. And usually I like people to get about 2 to 3 vegetable servings for every 1 fruit serving. And a serving is actually not that much. A serving of vegetable is, for example, a cup of raw vegetable or a half a cup of cooked. So if, for example, you had a fruit with your breakfast, and then you had a good-sized salad for lunch, that's usually about 3 servings, so we've got 4 so far. And then you have a vegetable with your dinner, you've done it. You've got your 5 servings. So it's really not difficult, but people have to be mindful about including those foods with every meal. That's the trick, or with snacks. And the benefit of these vegetables is that they contain some compounds called flavonoids, which you can't get anywhere else. There's no other way to get flavonoids except by eating plants. And there are thousands of flavonoids in plants, and they all have very specific and very powerful actions in our body. We've evolved to depend on these flavonoids to create better immunity, to reduce our inflammation, to help us manage our blood sugar, to help us balance the microbes in our gut. So we need these flavonoids to have well-functioning bodies. And again, the only place we can get them is through plant food, so there's no shortcuts. That being said, alongside the do, or the other kind of big don't I'd put there, is to avoid processed foods and or minimize processed foods in the diet, because processed foods, which are essentially packaged foods, usually there's ingredients on the labels that you either can't pronounce, or if that ingredient was in your kitchen, you wouldn't know what the heck to do with it. That's usually a good way to figure out if a food is processed or not. And when we process foods, we take out all the nutrients and we just get empty calories. And usually those foods have a lot of simple carbohydrates in them, so our blood sugar goes up and we are well on our path to developing insulin resistance. So, you know, just if people just want to do 2 things, those are the 2 things with regards to diet that I would strongly encourage: more vegetables and fruit and fewer processed foods.
Great, great. You know, one of the things about processed foods also is that, you know, there are a lot of GMO foods out there and pesticides. So organic, of course, is best. You know, I've found out that I've got a gene that's called PON1, and I've got a double allele, meaning that I've got those recessive genes that does not allow me to detox pesticides very well. And we know the studies are showing that pesticides can definitely be part of what triggers cancers in our body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's absolutely true, and I agree that the organic is ideal. And if people are, you know, are on a budget, the Environmental Working Group, which is EWG.org, publishes a great list called the Dirty Dozen and the Clean 15. So it, every year they update it to give you a guide for the 12 foods that are the most pesticide full, and you really need to get organic. And then the Clean 15 are produce foods that are very low in pesticides. So it kind of helps you when you're in the grocery store make financial decisions around this too.
Oh, that's great. Great advice. Okay, what's next? We got 4 and 5 left.
Okay, well, I'm going to save spirit for last because that's a fun one. But the 4 I would say is either, I'm going to kind of merge 2. In Carolyn and I's books, we talk about dietary supplements. I'd like to talk a little bit about that. In the iThrivePlan.com wellness application, we've substituted dietary supplements for environment. So they're both important. And I'll just say briefly, environment is really about paying attention to your home environment, to your personal care products, and learning how to reduce the environmental toxins that we can come into contact with. Those are also very carcinogenic. But in terms of dietary supplements, there's a huge potential for dietary supplements to support health, and particularly with cancer prevention. Probably the first one that everybody should by now at least have heard about is vitamin D. Vitamin D, if you're sufficient, and you only know if you get a blood test, which is very inexpensive, but if you're insufficient in vitamin D, then your risk of all cancers is going to be increased. When you replete your vitamin D with supplementation, because you just can't get enough by being out in the sun, unfortunately, then you actually start to reverse your risk for cancer. So that's just one example of many dietary supplements. So going to an integrative healthcare practitioner, getting some consultation and advice about what dietary supplements would best support health is something I definitely recommend.
Got it. You know what? We only have about a minute left for the last, the one, the spirit, which I absolutely love talking about. Can you go ahead and give us your belief in that last minute?
Yeah, me too. This is the foundation. So I would just summarize it by saying that underlying spirit is for me the question, for the sake of what? So when we ask ourselves, for the sake of what? Why am I so interested in preventing cancer? Why am I going to make efforts to make my diet healthier? Why am I going to try to exercise more? When you keep asking yourself why, you start to get to the core of the onion. You sort of peel the layers away, and ultimately you come to the important things about life that you love, cherish, and adore. And that is really why we're here on this planet. So I think kind of coming into contact with that within ourselves is one of the most important things that we can do in our short time on this planet.
I love it. God, Dr. Lees, such great information. And you know what? I put the links of your iThrivePlan.com as well as 5 to Thrive and even your website, Dr. Lees. I think it's Dr. Lees Alschuler. Is that right?
Dr. Lees, LISE.net.
Okay, Dr. LISE.net, thanks so much for being here. We can talk so much more about your work. Really excited for you on your iThrive plan. I think that's going to be incredible content and a great way for people all around the world who's going to be able to connect to you and learn from you about how to prevent cancer, as well as if you do have it, how you can really live the ultimate life during the process of your treatment protocols. I think that's what it's all about. Well, okay then, until next time, go out there and have a blast, everyone. Live the best life full of energy, enthusiasm, and ultimate wellness today. This is Dr. Suzanne sharing natural health strategies on the Wellness for Life show right here on Radio MD. Stay well.